All right, let's take our Bibles this morning and return back to the book of Ephesians. I think you can readily see as we have chosen to slow down here in what some commentators have called the summary apex of chapters 4 through 6, because each one of these things that we have spent detailed time concerning is a major issue in our culture today. When I say culture, I mean both in the world and also in the church, whether it be music or whether it be understanding what the will of the Lord is and what that means, whether it be thankfulness, whether it be submission, all of these things are real issues today in the church. So I want to again read Ephesians 5, beginning in verse 15. And as we do, try to recover some of the things in which the Lord has, opened up the eyes of your understanding and has conformed you in as we read through. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. And this morning we'll be looking at verse 20, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. If there is a terminal disease that has affected the Christian church, it is the infection of ingratitude. Mankind always bears this infection. It's kind of like strep. You always have strep, but if the conditions are right and the germ becomes out of place and uncontrollable, then you get sick. Mankind always bears the infection of ingratitude like strep, but it has presently become viewed as acceptable and normal in the church. Not only do we see it as acceptable and normal to be kind of the default pattern of our speech, but we rapidly seek to infect other people with this same ingratitude. We actually seek to promote ingratitude one to another. We send fiery darts of thanklessness one another's way, whether it's the weather, whether it's government, whether it's our personal relationships with people, whether it's the circumstances that we're either in or we think that are coming upon us. Instead of expressing gratitude for the good that God is doing in the midst of it, we collect around ourselves a group of people who agree with our ingratitude. Instead of gratitude being in place in a polite society, today, in our culture, if you do express affectionate gratitude, you are seen as strange. You're actually out of step. You could be shocking. People could actually just kind of look at you like, how could you be thankful in this particular situation? Or at worst, you could be viewed with suspicion. Like, you're only expressing gratitude because you want to get something from me. It's a way to manipulate the other person. We live in a day, even in the Church of Jesus Christ, where we're not thankful for children. If we were thankful for children, we wouldn't be having discussion about abortion. We're not thankful for our spouses. All we can do is see the bad in one another. We're not thankful for our prosperity as a nation. We think every day should be more and more and more, and now we demand it and we expect it. We're not thankful for our families. If our family units were expressing gratitude to God one for another, then we wouldn't have the multiplicities of divorces and trials and struggles within our homes. We're not thankful for the church today. We're always trying to diagnose what the problems are in the church. And the fact of the matter is that if you look in the New Testament, what you will find is that in almost every case, every church had problems. You'll never be at the place where a church won't have things that need to be in order, or areas in which we need to grow up, or situations that need to be addressed. It's not true in the church, it's not true in the history of the church, and it's even not true in individual believers' lives. And in many cases, especially among our young people today, they're not even thankful for being alive. If there was gratitude, there wouldn't be suicide. Ingratitude permeates our culture. And everything that I've just mentioned to you, whether it be children or spouses or prosperity or privilege or education, these are all natural affections. I'm not even addressing yet the supernatural affection of Thanksgiving. We're not thankful for our gender, or we wouldn't be talking about transgenderism. We're not thankful for how God has ordered marriage, or we wouldn't be talking about homosexuality and its activity. We're not thankful for our education, even though in many cases we are more highly educated than most of the world. We are most ungrateful. But when we turn to Christianity, it seems that today, especially among young people, that they can only see the church's sins. They can only see the church's faults or its weaknesses. And like an animal that senses the weakness in another animal, they prey on it. So we end up with blogs and tweets and things, all decrying the present sins of the church or the past sins of the church. And it's gotten to the place where we're not just pointing these things out and really seeking a remedy. We're just pointing them out. And as I've said before, it does not take supernatural grace to point out problems. That is natural to all mankind. Today in the church, we expect God to be saving. And because we expect God to be saving, we demand Him to be saving. And in that sense, we lose a sense of mercy, or His love, or His compassion, or His grace, that are gifts. They're gifts. And a gift should be thanked for, right? And it seems that society and the church today has learned to make gain for man's basis affections, his lower affections. I was reading a caption to an article. There was a picture there of, he was a lost man, but a man who is the richest man in the world. And they showed him in his high condominium towering over New York City, and talked about his wealth and his businesses. And in the caption to that picture, it made a statement similar to this. He said, "I've learned that if I can create desire, then where desire is, profits come." And when I read that, I thought, that is absolutely satanic. Now think about the Garden of Eden. The devil created a desire in Eve and in Adam, and the devil got what he was aiming for. He got gain from that. But that's an example of the world recognizing that if I can create something to the lowest affections in human beings, then I can make a profit from it. Carl Truman wrote in his Age of Ingratitude, and I read it again, "In times of turmoil in which we live, various candidates suggest themselves as ways of capturing the essence of our epoch. Perhaps a better title might be the Age of Ingratitude. Take, for example, the books, the blogs, the tweets devoted to being unthankful for anything and everything. We might dub this the ingratitude industry. Not only because of the sheer quantity of ungratefulness, but also because of the lucrative careers that have been made by selling ingratitude as a commodity. The fate of language of privilege is also significant here. Privilege is now a bad thing, a very bad thing, something for which one is supposed to feel guilty and for which one is expected to do perpetual public penance. But the appropriate response to such privilege is not to feel guilty, it is to feel what? Gratitude, thankfulness. To do otherwise, Carl Truman wrote, would be to sin, and he is correct with this. To live in an age marked by infantile ingratitude, and that means that we live in an age that when we really do not know how to live at all. Ingratitude has dehumanized us. So we act like animals one to another. Lack of gratitude is one of the first evidences of depravity. Romans chapter 1 and verse 21 we read for our scripture reading. And folks, I think this is true. And we can evaluate ourselves and we can evaluate those around us. The depth of our ingratitude reveals the depths of our depravity. The degree to which you are unthankful is the degree to which you are plumbing the depths of depravity. I think that's an appropriate statement. And if that statement is true, then surely our society, and in many cases the Church of Jesus Christ, is swimming in certain levels of depravity in our life. And folks, we're to grow up in this, right? The Bible exhorts us in Ephesians that one of the purposes of the Word of God dwelling richly in us with understanding is to change us from ingratitude to a growing gratitude for all things. Now, in the book of Ephesians, what we have here is the results of being filled with the Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit, as we've learned, is being filled with the contents of which the Spirit is giving to us illumination. And the content is God's eternal purpose. That eternal purpose has been delineated us in such magnificent language as Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 15. So thankfulness flows out of a recognition of these eternal purposes being seen in the saints for His glory. This is what God Himself is looking for. If you go back to chapter 3 and verse 20, "Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." And when we read a statement like that, the expression of amen is an expression of gratitude. Paul pens these words, and out of his heart is thankfulness. Or if we go back to Ephesians chapter 1, and we look at the purposes of all of this mystery of His will, the summing up of all things in Christ, look at what Paul writes. He begins in verse 3, he goes down to verse 6, and he just says, "To the praise of the glory of His" what? That's gratitude, isn't it? In other words, the aim of being blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, which involves His choosing of us that we would be holy and blameless before Him, His predestinating us to adoption of sons according to the kind intention of His will, that's supposed to work in us thankfulness. And if it doesn't work within us some measure, some degree of gratitude, then what we're doing is receiving verses 3 through 5 as information, but not life. Part of the essence of these words, dwelling in us richly, is life. This is eternal life, to know God in His Son, Jesus Christ. To have the living knowledge of Christ inside of us is not only to live and not only to be truly human, but it is to be thankful. And the aim of that purpose, when you look at all that is going on here, this overarching eternal purpose, the aim of this is to the praise of the glory of His grace. He goes on and He gives other blessings and privileges. Verse 7, we have redemption. We have forgiveness of our trespasses. We have verse 8 of Ephesians 1, the lavishness of this and all wisdom and insight. We have the hidden wisdom, the hidden mystery of His will made known to us. Isn't that something to be grateful for? And all of this, the summing up of all things in Christ, whether things in heaven or things on earth, and having obtained an inheritance, been predestined according to His purpose to the end, verse 12, to this aim that we who were the first to hope in Christ would be to the praise of His glory. That's the praise of seeing God's work in us being seen by Him. And the outworking of that is gratitude to Him for that eternal purpose being worked out in our lives and in the lives of other people. When you think about the great blessing, verse 13 of Ephesians 1, of being sealed in Him, of having the reception of the Holy Spirit of promise, to get a down payment of this inheritance that He has for us, with the view that He Himself is going to be our redemption. All of that is to the praise of the glory of His grace. The aim of it all, the end of it all, is gratitude. And if there's anybody that should have been grateful, it should have been Adam and Eve. You agree with that? They were in a circumstance and an environment that God says not just that it was good, it was very good. They lived in an arena of only goodness. We don't. They did. And yet they dishonored God. And said, "You mean we can't have this one tree? And folks, you do see with that, don't you, that when you get your eyes on something that disturbs you or bothers you, the more you have your eye on it, the bigger it becomes. And the bigger it becomes, it can end up obscuring all the other goodness that was in that garden, to where you say, I got to have that. That one thing is the biggest thing in my life. And you know that's true. Children can have a wonderful relationship with their parents, and their parents can do one thing unwise that affects their lives, and they just can't get their mind off of that one unwise thing. And that one unwise thing becomes bigger in their mind and bigger in their heart, to where they can't see anything good. Where if somebody would ask them, do you really appreciate your parents? They would say, my parents did nothing for me. Really? We know that's not true, right? Mm-hmm. But that's the way this sin of ingratitude works. Thankfulness is to flow out of this recognition of God's eternal purposes being seen in my life and in the lives of those in the church. It's to come out of our inner man, just like the music is to be singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. So too, this is to be flowing from our heart. This is no mere external politeness. This is no mere learning the terminology. This is to be living in our hearts, a heart that has been regenerated in the sight of the risen Christ by the light of his knowledge. This is what Paul calls the new self. The new self that's been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. And we are to be showing a growing thanksgiving as we grow up in all things. In other words, folks, the mark of a mature believer is gratitude. It's gratitude. And you know, as you think through the Apostle Paul, that it is a rare exception, like the book of Galatians. It is a rare exception, even at Corinth, who would want to pastor or join that church? But even in that church, Paul starts out that epistle with what?
Thankfulness.
For what God was doing in that congregation. And folks, I have said to you that maturity, one of the marks of maturity is gratitude. And folks, we all know this. I mentioned this in another connection with children, but we know that children are not inherently thankful. Why are they not thankful? Because they are inherently selfish. And folks, we still have a flesh that is inherently selfish. And it bothers me. It bothers you as a believer. This is one area that we need to be delivered from. Ingratitude. Now folks, thankfulness, it says in verse 20 of Ephesians 5, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. Thankfulness is our Christian distinctive. In Ephesians 5 and verse 4, after he speaks of do not allow immorality or any impurity or greed not be named among you, verse 4, there should be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather what? Giving of thanks. In Ephesians 1, verses 15 and 16, Paul starts this off. He says, "For this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, which exists among you, and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you." Did you notice what he's saying there? He sees the good that God is doing in the midst of that congregation. What is the good? Their faith. Their love. He sees the faith and the love. He sees the good, and immediately he doesn't cease to give thanks for them because of the good that is going on there in their lives. And he goes on and speaks of making mention of them in their prayers. Whether it be distinctiveness in our speech, or whether it be thankfulness for God's work that precedes correction, like in the book of Corinthians and others, or whether it be thankfulness for God's work going on before we pray for someone, gratitude is the appropriate response. It is the aim of God's eternal purpose. And folks, I suppose, and I'm just evaluating my own life and my own ministry, but I suppose that thanklessness is the least of the sins that are ever repented of in the life of a saint. It's definitely one of the least of sermonic material. We might say that the greatest sin in the church today is the lack of soul winning. We may say that the greatest sin in the church today is the lack of any activity that we might do. But the greatest sin in the church today, and is largely ignored, is ingratitude. And folks, Isaiah spoke of this, and it's written in the book of Romans and in the book of Philippians, that one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess to God, to the praise of God. That's gratitude. So let's just stop here and ask ourselves, when was the last time that you, as an individual believer, got arrested by your spirit in the midst of complaint or criticism? You got arrested in your spirit, and what came to your mind was, you need to be thankful. You understand then why I say that I suppose it is the least sin that believers repent of in their life. And I suppose that you would see the reason why we, unknowingly perhaps, but we have been conformed, we have been molded to our culture. Folks, it's no good for us to say, well, I'm more thankful than lost people. The standard is not lost people. The standard is God. The scripture says in Ephesians 5 and verse 20, let's just dissect this a little bit as we go down through it. We are to be always giving thanks. And again, this is a result of being filled with the proper content by the Spirit of God. It's the result of the words of Christ dwelling in us richly. What does the word always refer to? Well, it means to be regular in this, or to be consistent in all our circumstances of life. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18, Paul writes, "In everything give thanks." Did you hear that? In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. This is God's will, that in everything give what? Give thanks. The church is to be known for being a gathering of believers who with their heart consistently, regularly give thanks to God. Now, folks, what that means in a very real sense, church should never be a gloomy gathering of believers. There should always be an anticipation, a heart that is filled, even in the most depressing of circumstances, eyes that are on Him. And we all fail in that, do we not? Why should the church never have a gloomy gathering? Because, folks, our lives are not focused on earth. It's focused on the true realities of this life. Our eyes are on things where? Below or above? Where Christ sits at the right hand of God. And folks, we have nothing, and the only good that we have is from God, and that ought to give us thanks. Because He is doing it. So when it says always giving thanks, what we're talking about is a gathering of God's people. This is what we're doing. And folks, by the way, you can't sing and make melody with your heart to the Lord unless this is going on. In which we come to the gathering prepared with the words of Christ dwelling richly in us. We don't come to church to get the words of Christ dwelling rich us. No, that's the topping. We come to church with the words of Christ dwelling in us richly. We sing and make melody in our heart. We are consistently and regularly giving thanks. And our thankfulness is to be in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to God, even the Father. In other words, folks, our gratitude is centered in all who Christ is. And all that He has done on the behalf of sinful people. And folks, isn't that what the eternal purpose is all about? The eternal purpose is accomplished in who? In Christ. And as we see that eternal purpose, as we begin to have our eyes illumined to the breadth and the height and the depth and the length of this eternal purpose, for us to be able to gather in our spirit, to have the strength to bear in our spirit the glory of this goodness, to be filled with all the fullness of God. This is what it means to do all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the object of our gratitude through Him is to who? It's to God, even the Father. Why is the object God? Because, folks, God the Father is the source of all goodness. Let's just pause there and think about this for a while. He's the source of how much goodness? All goodness. Goodness is not sourced in one another. Goodness is not sourced in our neighbors. Goodness is sourced in Him. Even our Lord told the rich young ruler, "Why do you call me good? There's none good but God." James would write in the book of James, hear it, "Every good gift comes from above." And this God who has no variableness in turning, meaning you put Him and you have a light completely over Him, He is consistent, He is always this way, there's never a shadow, He never flinches from this. Every good thing comes from above. He can only do what? He can only do good. He has good in mind for every action that He does. And folks, you know this is true. It's true that God has designed good in everything He does, even in our sufferings, even in our afflictions, even in the trial of our faith. And folks, you know that because the multiplicity of verses, listen to this one, "It was good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your word, O God." All right, now let's listen to that. He's not saying the affliction was necessarily good. He's saying the good. It was good. It ended up being good for me that I was afflicted. What was the good? Learning the Word of God. Do you hear that? And folks, this is very, very helpful when we look at the next thing in this passage. Note in Ephesians 5, verse 20. "Always giving thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, for how many things?"
All things.
"For all things. A word-filled believer, a growing believer, a mature believer is regularly, consistently giving thanks for all things." Now we need to ask ourselves a question about this. Does he mean all things, like in everything? Or does the phrase "all things have boundaries"? And you know that's true. We can talk about, you know, "Everything happened to me today." Well, everything didn't happen to you today. Okay? Or we might say, "Everybody's happy." We don't necessarily mean that everybody's happy, right? When he says, always, we're to be consistently and regularly doing this, giving thanks for all things, does he really mean all things as in everything, or does it have boundaries? I think many believers assume that all things means everything. What do you think? But I'm going to ask you a question. Do you think that we should be giving thanks for evil? What do you think? Do you think that I should be giving thanks for Hitler? Do you think I should be giving thanks for 6 million plus Jews who died in concentration camps? Yes or no?
No.
Well, then you don't think it's everything. Years ago, decades ago, there was a famous preacher in fundamentalism who preached a message And this was the aim and the message. It was to thank the Lord for Adam's sin. And this was what he said. We ought to thank God that Adam sinned, because apart from that sin, Christ would not have come. What do you think about that? Do you think we should be thanking God for sin? Do you think, and I've heard this from other people, do you think that we should give thanks for the devil? And I'm just bringing things up because this is what I'm saying. I think that believers believe that when it says we're to give thanks for all things, that does mean everything. But I think that I've just proven by the looks on your faces that you really don't believe that. Folks, what are we to be thankful for? Now I'm going to make a statement and then I'll support it. To be thankful is to show gratitude for the good, not the evil. Now think about that just for a second. Thankfulness is gratitude for the good, not for the evil. Should I be thankful if a woman is raped? Should I be thankful if evil circumstances come my way? Thankfulness, genuine thankfulness, arises out of a perceived benefit. And folks, this is what it means. Listen to it carefully. In everything, I do think that's everything, in everything give thanks. So in every circumstance of life, whether I think it's good or whether I think it's bad, in that arena, I can find good to be thankful for. I'm not necessarily thankful for the evil or for the bad circumstances, but there's something there in those circumstances that I can be thankful for. What is it? It is the good that God produces in the midst of it. It's the good that God works in my life or in the church's life in the midst of it. Now, I'm going to go back to the verse I've already quoted to you. It was good for me that I was afflicted, so that I might learn your word, O God. What's the good? Learning the word. Everybody see that? That good in the midst of affliction. That good you can be thankful for. Everybody with me about that? And folks, this is exactly what the thankfulness for all things is boundaried in. What has the Holy Spirit illumined us to so that those words are dwelling richly in us? It is the words of God's goodness toward us in Christ Jesus. Called, predestined, pledge of the Holy Spirit, ultimate conformity into the image of Christ. All of those things are good. Do you agree with that? And folks, in the midst of tribulation, in the midst of the trial of my faith, in the midst of affliction, in the midst of evil, in the midst of cancer. I don't have to be thankful for the cancer, but I can be thankful for the good that God is working in me while I have what? While I have cancer. So that this is what happens. When you come out of that, you might actually say, I wouldn't give anything for that season of my life where I had cancer. But you're not saying it because you thank God for evil disease. You're saying it because of the good God has worked in your life. Everybody following me what I'm saying? And this is going to help us because, folks, we live in a world that's under the curse. There's bad, there's evil all around us, all the time. But the good is, what is God doing in the church in the midst of it? What is He doing in the midst of our afflictions? He is working Christ in us. And it's that good that we give God glory for in gratitude, and it's that good that God gets glory from, and it's that good that we will give Him praise forever and ever and ever. Folks, one day He's going to wipe away all your tears. It would be as if it never happened. But the good, the glory that God is doing in the life of His church and in the life of His people is from one glory to another glory. It's eternal, it's perpetual, it's forever. Our problem is we don't define good like God defines it. So Paul would write, listen carefully. We know that God causes all things, including bad things, to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Folks, loving God and being called according to His purpose, that's Ephesians 1, 3 through 15. So that even in suffering, even in the midst of the most horrific conditions, we can look for the good. Paul is in prison. He didn't have a TV. He wasn't giving meals every day. He's got shackles around his feet. I can't imagine the skin that got taken off. They didn't do it gently. And the Bible says, at midnight, he was singing praises to God. That's strange, isn't it? The good that God is causing all things in our lives. And we're thankful not for the shackle. We're thankful for the good that God is doing. Thankfulness is gratitude for the good. And since there's none good but God, it is the good that God is working in our lives and in the midst of the church. Sincere gratitude arises from a received benefit. So folks, our thanks is to God. Our thanks is for God. Our thanks is through God. And it is thanksgiving, for He is good, is He not? He does good, doesn't He? But it's also gratitude for the good He's doing in other people's lives. Even in the life of a church like Corinth. And folks, when we lose sight and our hearts are so constrained that our eyes are not focused on Him, it's focused on whatever the bad or the injustice or the weakness or the frailty or the sinfulness of someone else, the very first thing that will happen is your heart is darkened. And here's the odd thing, brethren. You will say that you're right and wise in what you're doing. And all it is depravity. It's flesh. Now, it doesn't mean that we can't recognize that circumstances are bad. It doesn't mean that we can't have a discussion about bad, evil things. But the discussion is, how can we manifest the good in the midst of it? Now I want to conclude by drawing our minds together for you to think about this. I mentioned it at the beginning, but thankfulness demands thought. This isn't natural to us. And I want to address children. I have found that children can really get their eyes on a few unwise, perhaps even sinful actions of their parents. And the reason why I say few is because I'm calling it few in relationship to all the good. Even if we take the most generic, the unchristian things that we should be thankful for, like a roof over your head, a bed, food that you didn't labor for. We can go to other things like your parents praying for you, giving you the Bible, having you be in a New Testament church. Those are good things. But when our children begin to enter into their teen years, what they find is their sinful nature becomes more and more active. And the world begins to help them. And their friends begin to help them. One friend will say to another, "I can't believe what my parents told me today." And we will hide, young people, we will hide in gratitude under the cloak of righteousness. And young people, I think it would be good for you to take today and clean out your heart. to clean it out to the place where you are once again honoring your father and your mother by showing thankfulness. You remember Romans 1? They did not honor God nor be thankful. They're combined. To honor your father and mother is to express gratitude for them. I do think that it would be good for the church to take today and clean out their heart and their attitude toward one another and toward the church. Does the church have problems? I think we all can agree, yes. Does the church have weaknesses? I think we all can what? We all can agree, yes. But there's a lot of good. A lot of good. God's been good to us. God is being good to us. And speaking to broad Christianity, the church has been good to them. If you are overly critical of the church, you need to remember you're part of it. Right? You're overly critical of your family, you're part of it. You're part of the family. You're telling on yourself. And I think, not that we should deny realities, not that we shouldn't hold each other mutually accountable. I'm not dismissing any of that. But I do think that this is true. Our ingratitude, like strep, is a little fire waiting to be kindled. If you hang around ungrateful people, you will catch the fire. You can't play with fire because you'll be what? Burned. And that's true in the church. I think we as individuals need today to give some thought to our gratitude to God. I have found in my own life, and I'm supposing in the life of all believers, that you can get to the place where you literally hate God. You don't like what He's doing. I've been there. I'm sure that in years ahead, if I live long enough, I might be there again. How can you hate someone who's only good? And then, folks, I think we need to evaluate our relationship to all authority. Our nation is a mess. I think we all would agree with that. But is there any good? There is a lot of good. We're losing it, but we're still the most free nation in the world. We still meet as a church without fear of invasion by authorities. You have all kinds of Bibles that freely are printed and you can buy and have. Our nation is being judged, but there's still good here that we can give thanks to God for. Relatively speaking, we do still have a peaceable and quiet life that we can live. Can we thank Him for that? Most nations don't have that. You look at North Korea, the atrocities. Honestly, if I was there, I probably would say I can't think of any good about that government. But is God doing good in the believers? He is. So folks, the evidence of maturity is a growing gratitude in our lives. It is to be filled with the spiritual content of the words of Christ. It is to have our eyes on things above, on the good that God is desiring to do in our lives. We don't give thanks for everything bad. We don't give thanks for the devil. We don't give thanks for sin. We don't give thanks for crime. But folks, even in the worst of circumstances, can God do good in the life of a believer? The answer to that is yes. And may God do that in our lives today. Let's pray.